titled this message, "The Ground is Level at the Foot of the Cross." Just something about that statement that I absolutely love, that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. That simply means that anybody and everybody, no matter your background, your situation, where you've come from, how big a sinner you are, or how long you've been in church, you always have access to the cross of Calvary. And His mercy isn't specific to only those that have everything together, but His mercy flows to anybody that's desperate for a move of God in their life. That's the amazing thing about the cross. I love the cross. I love, like Pastor Josh said, I love singing about the cross. I love what the cross did for me. I love today that I can stand up here and preach about the cross, because if it had not been for the grace of God, where would I be? Amen. I don't deserve it. Amen. And the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I came across an interesting story. I want to read it to you. Mahatma Gandhi, many of us have heard of Gandhi, is considered the father of modern India. His birthday, October 2nd, is a national holiday in the second most populated nation on earth. Listen to this story. In 1891, after graduating law school in London, he moved to South Africa to practice law, and the racial system of apartheid was strictly observed in South Africa. Now get this, Gandhi was fascinated with truth and studied the Bible and became very serious about discovering the truth that the Bible had to offer. He loved the Sermon on the Mount and seriously considered becoming a Christian. One Sunday, he decided to visit a church in South Africa. Gandhi's skin was light brown, and as he entered the church, a South African man, as most of you know, there's a lot of white people in South Africa, South African man said with a belligerent tone, "Where do you think you're going, Kafir?" K-A-F-F-I-R, which is a racial slur similar to the N-word that we have today. And he said, "Where do you think you're going?" Gandhi replied, "I'd like to attend worship here." The man said, "There's no room for coffers here. Get out of here. I'll have some of my men throw you down the steps." And Gandhi never seriously considered becoming a Christian again. This incident might have been one reason he later would utter the famous quote, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Now think about that for a minute. India being the second most populated country in the world, the amount of people that he's affected with the religion that he's a part of. And it's hard for us to understand this, but one thing that I want to preach tonight that I think is so important is the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's three takeaways that I want to give you tonight that I find in this parable. In Luke chapter 18, I believe that this will help us. And amen, just like with anything else that's good for you, if you apply it to your life, it'll help you, amen. Or this can be just another Wednesday night service, pop in, pop out, doesn't apply to me, and you won't get nothing out of it, amen. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 and 14, I think they're going to put that up on the screen. It says, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray." He begins to tell this story. "Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. And the Pharisee, standing by himself, he prayed, 'Thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house, and he was justified." That man got saved that day, "rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." So the first thing that I want you to look at with me tonight that I believe that will help us now and in anytime we read the Bible, anytime somebody ministers to our life, or anytime we come to the church and we hear a message, and that's simply this: if the shoe fits, wear it. Amen? If the shoe fits, if it applies to you, either accept it and do something about it, or go on your merry way. Amen? Jesus here, he's addressing the religious Pharisees, and he uses this parable. Basically, what he's trying to do is take a mirror and reflect the image that they have. Now, sometimes looking in the mirror, amen, come on, let's be honest, ain't all too pretty sometimes. We have all these apps that you can get on your phone, and a lot of you, my kids, they love to play with, and they have filters. You can put these filters on your phone, and you know, you could turn yourself into a cat and a dog, and I mean, just all kinds of fun things, you know. So you all know what I'm talking about, but the nice thing about a filter is when you're going to post a picture, you can put a filter, and you can hide all the imperfections. You can fix it, amen. You can touch up. You can cover up. You can make yourself look good and then post it on Facebook. Amen. And the more likes, the better. How many know what I'm talking about? And you could put on makeup. You could put on fake eyelashes. You could put on that lipstick. You could put on some cologne. Amen. Come on, man. You can fix yourself up. But at the end of the day, you're going to go home. You have to take that makeup right back off. And you're going to have to look in the mirror. And the problem is sometimes we just lie to ourselves and we think we look good and we think the mirror is telling us what we want to hear or see, amen. But the fact of the matter is the truth, amen, ain't always pretty. So the Holy Ghost, I believe, wants us to take a look in the mirror, amen. How many are following me tonight? Because the Holy Ghost will get down on the inside where nobody can see. Oh my goodness, yes, he will. And that's not always a pretty thing, amen, because I can do it. I can hide things from people. I have my own inner thoughts. I have my own opinions about certain people. Come on. And the Holy Ghost, he knows how to get right down on the inside where my heart is, and he begins to point those things out. And if the shoe fits, he's saying, you need to wear it, amen, so we can be helped. So check this out. Jesus, he tells this story. And he's basically telling the story of a churchgoer. The Bible says that they went to the temple to pray. This is like almost as if it was a Sunday morning, and we know that at 10 o'clock, Victory World Outreach is going to be starting their service. Amen. We've done everything to prepare ourselves. We got our tie on. Amen. We got our jacket on. You've put your dress on. You've fixed yourself up. You've done what you figured was necessary. You show up at church. Not with any bad intentions, but you showed up at church. Amen. Picture this with me tonight. He shows up at church, and the other guy in this story is a tax collector or a sinner. And really, the tax collector of that day was despised by society. Actually, the tax collectors of today are despised by society. But the tax collector of that day, they were on a moral pecking order. They were way down at the bottom. They were considered to be liars. They were considered to be dishonest. They were cheats. And so they didn't have a whole lot of friends. So basically what Jesus is trying to do is make a distinction between this churchgoer and this sinner. They both go down to Victory World Outreach. So at first glance, you almost have this hero and this villain. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. You see somebody that's put together. Amen. Maybe he's got respect in his community. He's a good guy. He's arrived at this position because he's made all the right choices. He went to school. He went to college. He has a good job, and now he's trying to make the right decisions for his family. He gets his family together. They show up to church. Amen. They're gonna go to church. They're gonna hear the word of God. They're gonna pay their tithe. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. And then we have this other guy that shows up, and the moment that he walks through the door, they're not looking at the guy with the tie, but they're looking at the guy that's the sinner, because it's very evident that he's a sinner. Now, we look at a tax collector and we say, well, maybe it's not very evident, but here Jesus is portraying this story as a sinner. That's very evident that the Pharisee looks at him and says, yeah, I know all about that guy. I know what he is. He begins to lay out all these things, and he says, I'm not like this man, extortioners. He's unjust. He's an adulterer. He's caught up in all kinds of things. And so we have this picture of the hero and the villain. We don't know a whole lot about the sinner, but any sinner that walks in, I don't know about you, but I do it. I look at somebody, I smell somebody. You smell cigarettes, you smell alcohol sometimes, and we begin to size them up. I feel like I'm the only one in here that does that. Amen. Can I get an amen? Come on. And it's not to be mean or anything, but we judge people. We judge people by their appearance. We judge people by all kinds of different things. What they say, what comes out of their mouth, how they talk, how they act. Amen. And that's what this Pharisee begins to do to this tax collector or this sinner. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves tonight is, which one do we see ourselves as tonight? Because I like to see myself as the man who is beating his chest and crying out to God, God, have mercy on me. Because I can relate to that. How many times have I felt so unworthy because I did something or my past comes back on me and I begin to think about these things and I think, my God, what am I even doing? I'm so undeserving of this. How many times have I found myself somewhere in this altar with my head down thinking, thank God nobody knows. And I beat my chest and I say, God, have mercy, a cry, mercy, have mercy. And I identify with this guy. But listen to this. If I'm honest tonight with myself, sometimes I look in the mirror and I see the Pharisee. Yeah, I see the Pharisee. Recently, I talked with a man that had come into one of our services and just began to talk with this guy at the end of the service, and he began to, the first thing that I saw was all the tattoos up and down his arms. The tattoos on his neck, the tattoos on his face. When you're getting tattoos on your face, you're living hard, man. And see, that the first thing I did was I began to judge this man. And he began to share with me a little bit about his life, and he starts to tell me that him and his wife was there. His wife was weeping at the altar, and he begins to talk to me, telling me that they're homeless. They're living in an abandoned camper with no water, no electricity. He says, you know, my marriage is in shambles. He goes, I mean, matter of fact, we weren't even planning on coming to church. We saw the sign. We saw that there were cars, and we came into the service. He came in the middle of the service. And showed up at the service, heard the message preached, and begins to tell me all of these things. And he says, I came here, just before I came here, I smoked a bowl of meth. Then he begins to tell me, because you're not going to believe this, this is the first time in 17 years that I've been out of prison and I'll be able to have a Christmas. The first time in 17 years that I'll have a Christmas outside of jail. He says, as a matter of fact, he goes, I took my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter. I've got an 11-year-old daughter. I took my 11-year-old daughter to the movies, and as we were leaving the movies, she said, Daddy, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I said, yes, baby. And she said, I don't ever remember going to the movie. I think that was the first time we've ever been to the movie together. He said he got choked up. Tears came to his eyes. Can you imagine? And I'm thinking about this guy, and you know, I ministered to him. I prayed with him. But then I had this thought that this guy's going to need a whole lot more than just a little prayer. Anybody ever done that? I know God can save him in an instant. I know that. I've heard testimonies of God cleaning somebody up. Boom, it's done. Other times I think, man, he's going to need some rehab. He's going to need a halfway house. He's going to need a mentor. A sponsor, somebody to keep tabs on him. This guy is so far from God. And when I thought that, the Holy Spirit checked my heart. And the Holy Spirit said this, check this out. You're no closer to God than he is. And he's no further away from God than you are. And that's why I always like to say it's level ground at the cross. Because in a moment's time, I can slip up and I can be right where he's at. We've heard stories of people that have blown it, and people that had everything together. They had their marriage, they had their family, they had a career, and now they're homeless somewhere. We've heard it. Amen. We've seen it. And And how am I any better than him? And I began to think about this. The Holy Spirit began to minister to my heart. This guy's dysfunctional. And I began to think, well, hold on a second, Holy Ghost, because sometimes the Holy Ghost will speak the truth and it don't always feel so good. And I said, ouch. But hold on a minute. I don't smoke meth. I'm not in prison. I've got a roof over my head. I've got a relationship with my 11-year-old daughter. And quite frankly, I'm glad that I'm not this guy. I'm not in prison. I ought to be thankful that I'm not any of these things that he is. And you know what I began to sound like? Sounded just like that Pharisee in this parable. If the shoe fits, wear it. And God began to deal with my heart. So I think tonight, I think we ought to examine our hearts, examine our motives, examine how we look at people. And, you know, there's we might say, well, a sinner is somebody that has tattoos and looks like he's been down and blah, blah, blah. No. There's lots of sinners that look just like I look right up here. And they're just as lost as the drug addict that's on the street. Amen. The homeless person or whoever, amen, that doesn't have Christ, amen. Here's what I want you to see. The first one that's very important is to examine our hearts. And if we do wear that shoe, let's get it right before God. Second tonight, watch this. Humility wins the heart of Jesus. There's something that captures the attention of God. God is not impressed by our works. So many churches and so much of religion is built on what I can do and how good I can do it and how often I can do it. And I like what James says, show me your faith and I'll show you your works. Amen. Works follow faith. It's not the other way around. Amen. We got so many people that are so religious, but they're so far from God. They don't, listen, it's a joke. What a sad, pathetic Christian life to not know the joy and the love of God. And Jesus isn't impressed by works, but humility touches the heart of God. And so as Jesus is sharing this story about this immoral sinner, this tax collector, he cries out to God with tears in his eyes. Matter of fact, the Bible says that his head is hung down low because of the shame in his life. Anybody ever felt like that? Like you just can't even look at somebody in the eye because of the shame? And he begins to beat his chest and he cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a failure. I'm a sinner. I've violated relationships around me. I've done all these things. I've lived this life. And he begins to call on the mercy of God. I'm a failure. And I want you to know that that rang the bell of heaven. That rings the bell of heaven. Hallelujah. James 4, 6 and 7, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, I thank God for altar calls. I do. I thank God for altar calls. Matter of fact, sometimes the altar call is my favorite part of the service, depending on who's preaching. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes I'm like, man, I just wish the altar call would get here. No, I'm not. That's terrible, because that's probably what you're thinking. Amen. These altars, man, what an opportunity, you know? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been going through all week. Some of you, I've shaked your hand. You smiled at me. Amen. You clapped your hands. You raised your hands in service. I don't know. For all I know, you've had the worst week ever. And somehow you drag yourself in here, you put a smile on your face so nobody would know. But you're broken. You're going through it. The devil's attacked you. And you're thinking, how in the world am I ever going to make it? And then all of a sudden the altar call comes. And you say, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And in an altar like we're going to have here in a few minutes, you begin to cry out. And I want you to know that when you cry out in humility, Oh, hallelujah. You ring the bell of heaven and God comes running and he hears the cry of mercy. Amen. If these altars could tell the story, the tears, the pain and the shame and the sorrow and the repentance, all that God does in these altars, humility touches the heart of God. It touches the heart of God. I'm reminded of the prostitute who brings the alabaster box. The Bible says that she was a woman of ill repute, and the Pharisees are there. They've invited Jesus into their home. And you know, the Pharisees are thinking, if Jesus only knew what manner of woman this is, if he only knew, he would not even allow her in the house. He knew. Jesus knew. They were calling her names. You can only imagine. And she comes down in humility. She gets as low as she can. She breaks that alabaster box. She begins to wash the feet of Jesus with her hair, with that expensive ointment. And I want you to know that that touched his heart. He was more impressed with her and her humility than she was with the, I almost said hospitality, because they weren't very hospitable that night as they had him in their house. But he was more impressed with that. That rang heaven's bell. Blind Bartimaeus, who cried out, "Have mercy on me, thou son of David," his humility won the heart of Jesus. The humility of the prodigal son when he came home to his father. Imagine this. Spent all his money. He ends up in a pig pen, taking care of the pigs. He's lost everything. He blew his inheritance. He finds himself in this pig pen, and he's eating the food that the pigs are eating. And the Bible says that he came to his right mind. Now, how many know if God can do it for this man, God can do it for our kids. Wherever and however they got there is of no importance. Amen. The fact of the matter is the Holy Ghost can get right where they're at. God can get right where they're at, and God can bring them, and that they can be brought to their right mind. And he said, "What am I doing in this mess? If I can just get home," I'm sure he had lots of questions. Will I be accepted? Will they allow me to even work as a servant? And as he begins to head back and he make his way home, there the Bible says that his father saw him a far way off. And the mercy, amen, the humility of this boy touched the heart of his father. And he received him in open arms. And the Bible said they had a party. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like parties. Can all the Latin people agree with me? Los Latinos, huh? If anybody knows how to throw parties, it's the Latin people. They have parties for everything. Quinceañeras, I mean, break out the piñatas, amen. The prodigal son has come home. Get the tamales out, hallelujah. We're going to have a party. And it rang the bell of heaven. Humility wins the heart of Jesus. Now, I want to finish with this tonight. That's simply this: mercy is found at the cross. Mercy is found at the cross. And we got good Christian people. We got people that really do have the heart of God. But they can't do nothing for you. We got good counselors. We got people that have degrees. We got people that have seen exactly what you're going through. And they know how to fix it. But that's not your answer. Mercy is found at the cross. You can't fix it with any psychological counseling, amen. You can only fix it by the power that was given at the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus. And one thing that I want to say, amen, is God can do it in a moment's time, and the ground is level at the cross. The ground is level at the cross. Now, think about this tonight, because you might think, you know, I understand that. I understand the gospel. I understand the cross. But you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand what I've done. I don't feel worthy. How many times have I come to the altar and I got back up and I still didn't feel worthy? Amen. Because the devil's, he's a master strategist. He knows how to bring it up and remind you. Your mom was this. Your dad was this. You did this. People still remember what you've done, blah, blah, blah. The devil's a liar and the father of all lies. I stand on what the Word of God says. When I'm forgiven, it's cast into the sea of forgetfulness, and God forgives it, and it's done with. And he says, today's a new day. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You're a new person. You're a child of God. That's your identity. Amen. I'm a child of God. Born again, saved, and set free. And when I mess up in the morning, amen, tomorrow when I ask for forgiveness and I repent, I'm a child of God by the mercy of God. People feel like they've done too much. They've messed up too bad. They don't deserve to be forgiven, or they're in the middle of a struggle. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. Amen. I'm always reminded that Pharaoh didn't let go of the people of Israel very easy. It was a struggle, but they did get out of there. Amen. There is hope and there is freedom if you keep pushing. Amen. Every single person that cried out for mercy in the Bible, every last one of them got their miracle. God took notice. And in this parable, Jesus' closing statement, I believe, is what shocked everybody that day. And he said, I'll tell you, this man went home justified. That sinner, the one they sized up, the one they said, look at him, he's a cheat, a liar, an adulterer, he's done this, he's done that. I've seen him in the bars, I've seen him strung out on drugs, I've seen him in Cripple Creek. I've seen him here, I've seen him do that, amen. Hallelujah. He went home justified, forgiven, and changed. I love what Pastor Rod preached on Friday in Breakaway. He preached about the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. They brought her in there, and all the accusers were there, and there's no doubt that she was guilty. She was caught, and she deserved death according to the Mosaic law. She was to be stoned to death. And they bring this woman before Jesus because they're going to use this to trap Jesus. And Jesus, amen, he's two steps ahead of the devil every single time, folks. The devil ain't smarter than Jesus, amen. And Jesus begins to write in the sand, and he says, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And some scholars said maybe he wrote down their sins, maybe he put down their names. I don't know what he wrote, but the fact of the matter is, when that woman looked up, all her accusers had gone. And he said, neither do I condemn you, but listen to what he said. He said, go and sin no more. God can fix it. God can change it. God can transform your life and put you on the right path to victory, all because of the cross of Calvary and his mercy. Amen. That's the grace. That's why they call it amazing grace. It's amazing tonight. Amen. God throws open his arms and he says, I still love you. He loves you tonight. Ma'am, he loves you. I know you. Whatever the past has, and you don't feel, listen, he loves you. Sir, you've done this, you've done that, you've got this. He loves you. That's what we ought to be preaching, is the love of Jesus, amen. Not do this, do that, and everything will be all right, amen. Of course, there are certain disciplines that we need, but listen, at the end of the day, it's the love of Jesus that's going to save us from going to hell and send us to heaven. Can you say amen? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, just in reverence to God for a few minutes. Our musicians are coming tonight, and just in an attitude of prayer, just for a few minutes. How many all over this place tonight, from front to back, you say, you know what, I hear you. I'm looking in that mirror, the mirror that the Holy Spirit is holding up. I sense it. I feel it. It might be tonight that you are that person that's sized up people, and I don't know, maybe it's tonight you're the broken person. It doesn't matter. We need God either way. Maybe you've come into this place tonight and you've got sin in your life, and definitely you're not proud of it. Matter of fact, you might be like this guy. You're ashamed of it. But we're going to have an altar call just like I was telling you about a minute ago. We're going to make time for God to fix what only he can fix. We're going to bring it to the foot of the cross. And not one person is better than any other person in this place tonight. God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants to justify you and make you righteous. How many all over this place would say, you know what, that's me. Just by raising your hands, I need God. I need to be saved. I need mercy. That's you. God bless you. How many more? Honest hearts. God bless you. How many more would say, that's me? God bless you, sir. God bless you. I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I just need help tonight. Maybe it's just, you know what, I'm dealing with some things that are some mental battles. The devil's attacking me. Maybe that's you. Just raise your hands tonight. I need help in that. I need victory over this thing. Maybe tonight it's a constant struggle. It's that one thing that you can't get the victory over. That's okay. God's not angry with you. God loves you. God wants to help you. That's you. Quickly, just put your hand up. I need help with this area. This area, this addiction, this struggle that I have. It could possibly be anger. It could be anything. Unforgiveness, bitterness, things that you can't let go. Let's bring it to the foot of the cross. That's where your answer is tonight. Let's all stand to our feet in this place tonight. We're going to open up these altars. We're going to allow you time to pray. And we just want to minister to you tonight. As we begin to sing this song, let's find a place in these altars. Let's let God help us. Can we do that? Let's cry out for mercy. Oh, have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy.